Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
So welcome to episode 39. Today we're going to be talking about the reasons you're with your partner and whether they're the right reasons or potentially the wrong reasons. But before we get to that, I wanted to do a little bit of housekeeping and admin. So we've still got the fundraiser from last week for the Mitchells. If you haven't heard that episode, it's a long distance couple who are trying to close the distance from Wales to Florida. And he's got a health condition. He's on dialysis, awaiting a kidney transplant, a potential, is it reduction in heart valve functionality?
I think so, yeah.
So we've just got a fundraiser to try and help them raise some money for the visa costs. And I think if everyone listening to this episode put in between $1 and $5, we'd probably have all the money in under a week. So we don't need a lot of money from individuals. If you could contribute to that, it'd be really helpful. We'll put the link in the show notes on our website and on, hopefully on whatever players people listen to this on.
If it's in the show notes, it'll be on there.
Great, okay. Well, we'll put it in there. And then come and follow us. We're on Instagram a lot, Mr. Mrs. Distance, or one word, no underscores or any of that nonsense. And if you come and follow us, you can help us talk about what subjects we're going to be discussing in future. You can ask us questions and generally get our thoughts on things outside of the podcast. So come and talk to us over there. I'll let you say something now.
Hi. So I guess really on this week's episode, Rich had seen something on, where was it?
Reddit.
That made him think about this. And we've actually had a few posts lately on Instagram.
It dovetails in with something I've been thinking about doing for an episode for a little while, but we'll get to that. But yeah, it's spurred on by this thread I've seen on Reddit, but it's not strictly the only reason.
No, I was just going to say, though, if we like had this weird little outburst.
Just clarifying.
Basically, if you go into our grid, maybe for the last couple of weeks, you'll see a couple of posts about kind of the idea of your partner completing you. And Rich, in particular, has some really definite opinions on that. And I think mine are pretty similar, but maybe slightly different. So I guess if you just want to kind of
review the
conversation.
Like, I don't want it to seem like one of those things where I'm, like, being a killjoy about it, because in a lot of instances, I completely understand the context, and it's a fairly nice romantic thing to say, and, like, we've said it, and it's fine.
But you don't mean it.
No, it's not that I don't mean it, but I'm saying when it becomes, like, an actual source of truth, where it really is meant, that's a problem. So what that saying is when people say, oh, you know, you complete me, and I didn't coin the phrase, I definitely read it somewhere, they shouldn't complete you, they should compliment you. And that was something I really pondered for a while, because I think there's this very romantic notion of I'm one half, you're one half, we come together and we make this beautiful whole. And like, that's kind of true. I totally see the rationale behind that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like I said, so in that context, I get that in the same way you can say, oh, the sun rises in the morning, and you could be really literal and say, no, it doesn't, sun doesn't move. Like, there's a reality to it, and there's a sort of everyday language to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in this is when, if you really are with someone and you genuinely feel like they do complete you, and you're with that person because you're lacking something, you've got an insecurity, you've got a vulnerability, then they're not really your partner, they're like you're dependent on them. I think that's a very different dynamic, and I don't think that's very healthy. So they should compliment you in the sense that they bring out the best in you, like they support you, you may feel like more complete with them, like, you know, you probably feel like I was missing an arm if you went around, you know. But so in all that sense, like, yeah, they complete you in that they can help you go a little bit further, but equally, you should be a fully functioning, capable person without them.
I think, and this might sound a bit pedantic, but I think it's a quite an apt way to explain it. Yeah, you should be a whole, complete person, and we'll kind of get to some of that a bit more in a bit. But that doesn't mean that someone can't complete your life, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, without you, I am a fully functioning, intelligent, emotionally awake person. But if I didn't have you in my life, I would feel like something significant was missing.
And yeah, that's basically what I just said.
Yeah, but I've just said it in a, like, well, quicker.
Okay, so you're not arguing with me over it.
No, I'm saying it might sound pedantic. It's just, like, a better way to say it. Like, you should be complete on your own, but that doesn't mean that your life is complete without this person or a person.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that they don't add anything to you. I mean, they should. I mean, absolutely they should. And like I said, they should push you to do new things. They should help you grow in whatever arena that is. Like, self-development, you know, they should give you a reason to want to be better, and maybe that's earn more money, get a better job, or stay in shape, like what, any number of reasons, but they, you know, they should definitely be a positive influence in your life. But what it is for me is when people say they complete me, and maybe part of this is because we see very young people online, you know, and that definitely can influence it. But yeah, I think it's, the language can be quite worrying if it's said with the wrong intention. So the thread that I saw on Reddit that we mentioned earlier was, and this was someone very young, I'm not going to get too specific, so I don't know if they listened to us, but it was someone very young who was in a long-distance relationship with someone who was slightly older. They'd never met, really, it's unlikely they will meet. But it became quite clear that really the younger of the pair had depression and some issues in real life, quote unquote. And really the boyfriend in this situation was being used to try and help her through it. But I didn't get the impression that he was intentionally helping her through it and being this deliberate source of support. It felt more like she was latching onto someone, and through distraction or whatever else, he was her medicine. And that's really like a good example of summing up that they don't complete you. Like she has issues that need to be dealt with independently. And I think the sad thing in that situation is, especially when they're unlikely to meet, and he's kind of this faceless stranger, and, you know, we've said before, when you're in a long-distance relationship, you miss out on conversations back home. You spend less time with friends and family.
Yeah.
So she's putting all this energy into this person because he's making her feel better about herself. And it's the kind of situation you can see in years down the line, she's going to look back and think, fuck, I missed out on a lot of my teens because I wasn't addressing those issues within myself. And so, yeah, that's an example of it being long distance. But this, you see this in, you know, no distance relationships too.
Yeah, and I think this isn't to be mistaken for, oh, if you're not a complete person, you don't deserve love, or you don't deserve, you know, happiness, or you shouldn't have, you know, that missing part in your life. That's not at all what we're saying. I think that's important to highlight.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, if you've got stuff to work on, and let's be honest, 100% of us have something to work on in ourselves, then, you know, that needs to be a priority. And I think what that leads to is that, you know, if you're, and this is something else that we've been talking about a lot recently on Instagram, you know, if you're not taking care of yourself, if you're not in the right place, then you're not going to be as good of a partner as you otherwise could be.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like you can't go into a relationship until
you're perfect. Yeah.
And you've had years of therapy and whatever, but it's more that, look, have that self-awareness and think, I'm with this person because, yeah, I love them or they make me feel good, but not because they fill a hole that should be, that you should at least be working on filling yourself. I think that's it. It doesn't mean that you don't go into a relationship without being perfect.
And I think the problem with being with someone because they fill a hole, obviously that doesn't mean, oh, you know, there's no one romantic in my life, they're filling that hole, that's fine. And obviously they're going to enhance your life if they're the right kind of person for you. But the problem, if you have like emotional, psychological, you know, scars and holes, first of all, filling that hole with someone, you know, that person could leave. And if you haven't addressed those issues, then you're going to, the hole's
someone else who's left you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now that hole's bigger. That hole's more tender. I've been left, not even, not even saying they leave you, you break up, what, you know, something terrible happens and, you know, they're whatever, they cannot be in your life at some point and they can't just be your crutch. Like, it's great that they're there to help you work through things, but you have to work on yourself because, yeah, you never, like, anything at any moment can be taken away from you in life. And if that goes, then where are you? You're back to square one. And two, if they are filling a hole or a void within you, that's really unrealistic expectations to have of someone and can put a real strain on relationships if they're constantly expected to be the glue that holds you together or, you know, whatever you want to call it. That's a very high standard to hold of someone and not fair.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to be a burden.
It's not even that. It's just strange.
Well, you could quickly become one.
Yeah.
I don't like
to use that term, though, because I think people with anxiety and depression often do feel like a burden. I feel like a burden to people a lot. So I don't like using that term because I think it's something that people...
Well, what would you say?
I don't know. I think that's a hard thing to actually say. Or a harsh thing to actually say.
But there's a difference between I feel like a burden because I've got insecurities and actually being one, I think.
Maybe.
And yeah, I understand what you're saying and I don't know what the right term would be then, but I think the point is still valid, that if you're only with this person because they give you some sense of, like, validation, and that's how they'll see you. They won't see you as, oh, you know, I love you because you're my partner. They'll see you as... oh, you need me because I make you feel good about yourself, and that's a very different thing. But you can flip it the other way around as well. So, you know, we've been talking about you shouldn't be with someone if you're the emotionally fragile one, but equally you get these people who like to be with these people because they feel good about that, like, oh, it empowers me, or if you like to be with people who need help.
I think there's all very fine lines along it, though, isn't there? Because you fall in love with someone, or you start to get really intense feelings for someone, you do enjoy the feeling of making them feel better, and that is not unhealthy. But no. I think if it's the main theme or undertone or trend in your relationship, then maybe, well, it's not the most healthy thing.
It's the reason. If you love someone, you want to do it as a offshoot of that love.
Yeah,
your caring instincts take over, or kick in. They don't take over necessarily, but they kick in. You think, okay, I want to help you because I love you. Then there's the, oh, that person needs some help, I'll do that, and like a white knight type thing. And you don't really love them, you see them as like a project, and oh, I'll help you get better, like, because it makes me feel good.
Yeah,
I think that's quite a insidious, like, behavior.
Yeah. And then on top of it, like, you know, just in general, what other reasons do you think are wrong reasons that people might be together?
Convenience.
Yeah.
I think people might be together because there's a strong physical attraction, but the relationship's not healthy.
Yeah, and it's not working.
And I think in long distance, particularly, I think you can really like the idea of someone for a number of reasons. That could be... oh, they live in this country that's really cool and romantic, and I'd love to be there, and they're my ticket to it. Or, well, we've spoken online, and, like, you know, like when you read a book and you picture it in your mind. So when you read that book, we'll see it differently. I think it can be like that. You talk to this person through text and stuff, and you build up an image in your mind, not of what they look like, but of what they may sound like, or
what they are in general.
What they are. You build up as a character, and then I think it can be very easy in long distance when you meet, if they're not that, you can kind of pretend they are. Mm-hmm. So you can like the idea of someone more than the person, or you may like the idea of this lovely romantic relationship and it isn't that. You know, I know when you've mentioned before that when you told people that you were meeting someone from England, they were like, oh, you know, castles and princesses and all that. And, like, obviously that's not reality, but you can just imagine someone saying, oh, I'd love to live in England because of the history and the and this and that. And even though that's not the day-to-day life, you can just put it in your mind that that's sort of your reality, and it, like, escapism.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, I've mentioned this a few times, I'm sure. I know I have, actually. That, you know, I had a friend who I met on my flight out here, and not long after she had... started talking to a guy, I think somewhere in South Africa, and she lived in America, and, you know, she went to visit him, and it wasn't really kind of working out great. And she was like, oh, but you know, I just want what you have. I want that fairy tale story. And it's like, it's not a fairy tale. It's hard fucking work. Like, there was no, you know, us riding off in the sunset. I mean, yeah, we kind of got that, but there's been sacrifice to make that happen. And I think people don't think about, you know, not seeing their family every day, having to be integrated into a new culture, working out with your partner, like the whole, right, well, I'm here for you, you know, how do we balance our life? You know, it's just a lot. And I think that is definitely not the right reason, because you want a story. You know, like, every love story is great. Like, no matter what your circumstances are, you don't need to make it this big moving mountains epic thing.
Well, do you think that's got worse from the internet? Like, you know, they talk about social media being highlight reels, and we've got a lot of rom-coms. Like, do you think there's more pressure now to have this
perfect grid life?
Well, perfect grid life, but also this really cool story, like, maybe. And not being content to, oh, you know, yeah, me and your mum met in the pub 30 years ago. That was a fairly common story. But now it's like, oh, you know, we're up the fucking mountains of whatever, and
Lake Tibidabo,
and an eagle came down with a ring, and that was how you proposed. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it feels much more like over the top now.
I don't know. Maybe we're just seeing it more because of the, you know, media and social media and stuff. Like, yeah, people didn't have ways to tell those stories. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's an interesting point. But I think other reasons, you know, that can play a factor that aren't good are, you know, money, status.
Yeah.
Revenge is a really bad one that I think is probably quite common. You get with someone because you're trying to get back at someone else or something like that. But I just think these things are really damaging.
Oh, you know, and I think sex too. Like, if you're with someone who's like, they're very, very, or if you both have a very... compatible and fulfilling sex life, you think, that's gonna be hard to walk away from, because you know from previous partners that, you know, they're not all that good.
Mm-hmm.
You might think that's hard to walk away from, and sometimes there's more than one of these things combined. Like, oh, they've got the money and the status that you mentioned, and you have this incredible sex life, but other than that, you know, they treat you like shit and you don't really get on very well. Like, you know, it's, I suppose some decisions are harder than others, but you have to be with them for the right reasons, I think.
Yeah, you do.
I'm just trying to think if there are, like, exceptions to that.
Well, I think there's just, you know, because you're with people for the right reasons isn't to say that there's not going to still be struggle. I mean...
But it also doesn't mean there won't be good times if you're with them for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. And I think that's why it's so hard. You know, people don't just walk away from things because, you know, you put work into this relationship and then something starts going wrong and you think, well, maybe we can fix this. Like, it's not kind of as black and white as we're making it sound, for sure. And we're well aware of that.
Well, you saying that, I mean, maybe there's stubbornness too. Like, people, if you've been making a mistake for years, then it can be, your ego might say, oh, I don't want to walk away from this. Then you're almost admitting that you've made a mistake for years.
Or failed or something.
Or failed.
Yeah, so fear of failure is probably another one. So you might be like,
I'm going to persevere with this. I'll make it better. And on failure, I think also family. Like, if you've got a partner that your family or your friends have said, oh, I'm not really sure, you know, they're the right one for you, you can almost feel like, well, fuck you. Like, you know, and I can't walk away from them now because then I'm proving you all right and I don't want to do that. Like, so I think ego can really get in the way.
I think also fear of walking away in general. You're with this person because you're afraid not to be, because you don't know any different. Or
you're scared of being on your own.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really bad one. And I think...
But it's also very understandable.
It's understandable, yeah, totally. But I think that one ties in with what we said at the beginning, you know, about this Reddit conversation. It's like, I'm with this person because... Mm. I feel sad or incomplete or whatever it might be. And then I think ultimately, if you peel back the layers of that, it's a fear of being on your own. And the fear of being on your own can obviously manifest in a number of different ways. But I think if you're with someone because you just want to be with anyone, then one, that's not fair to that person. Because no. They're with someone that... doesn't really want to be with them. They just want to be with someone, anyone. And you know, I think...
People deserve to be more than just a warm body.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, okay, not every relationship is going to be fireworks and this incredible story. They do exist. But equally, everyone does deserve to be in the relationship where it's really good and they're really happy and they do have those sparks between them.
You say that. I think that every relationship, at least at the beginning, should have some fireworks.
Yeah. At least at the beginning, they should have some.
And for a while.
But not all of them do. And I think, you know,
but they should. People deserve that.
The amount of relationships where, oh, we were a one-night stand, she got pregnant, and so now we're together. Yeah. You know, or, well, it was just convenient.
I just remember, like...
And I suppose there are things like arranged marriages and things where that they may develop years to become...
That's kind of hard to comment on. But I think, I just know for me that, like, I remember before we met, you know, it was kind of between when we were first supposed to meet, and then we had radio silence for a few years before we actually did meet.
Mm.
I remember I had met this guy, and I was, like, visiting my sister, talking about it, and, like, he was cool, he was nice, we had a lot in common, we got on, but I didn't feel any fireworks. And I remember saying to my sister, like, well, maybe just all relationships don't have that. And she's like, they should at this point. Like, you're meeting this person, you're getting to know them. Like,
yeah.
That's a sign that, okay, maybe, you know, nice guy, but maybe not quite right for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that I ultimately took that advice. I just thought, you know what? I'm not getting any kind of excitement or passion. I just don't feel anything like that. And, you know, maybe some people are okay to not have passion. I mean, I think everyone wants it to an extent.
Yeah, there should be passion. And, of course, that's hard in long distance because the passion's not physical so much of the time. But I just think if you're with someone because you've got a selfish reason, and regardless of how justified you may feel, that if you're with them because really they're a crutch for you, then it is selfish. And I think let them be happy with someone else and let them have the good things, you know, have those fireworks with someone else and work on yourself. And I think, I just think this idea that they complete me when it's not completely meant from a oh, it sounds romantic, but everyone kind of knows what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
When it's said with actual, like,
I'm nothing without you-ness.
Yeah, and yeah, you kind of hear about these people and where it's like, if I leave them, they'll kill themselves. Like, there's that degree of dependency. Like, you need help. You know, that's not what a partner's for. A partner isn't to take people who are just perpetually sad and empty inside and make them happy. Like, that's not how it works. That's not what they're for, but it's also unrealistic. That's not what happens. So ultimately what happens is you'll just go for however many years pretending and feeling, oh yeah, I'm good, everything's as it's supposed to be, and then one day you realise, oh, actually I haven't addressed any of those problems, and she hasn't changed anything fundamentally for me. It's something you have to do for yourself, you know, so it's not for anyone, including yourself.
I think any relationship where people are together for the wrong reasons, and it's sad because, you know, one of you may be with one for the right reasons, but the other person isn't, you know, so say, let's go with status and money, you know, it might be, you know, maybe he is, maybe, let's say she's really rich and she's, you know, got a lot going on and all this. And, you know, the guy's actually with her because, do you know what? I really genuinely, for all the right reasons, you know, genuinely loves her. But maybe she's with him because he's the right look for her. He matches her.
Like a trophy wife type thing.
Yeah, but a trophy husband. But like, oh, he makes, you know, he matches my look on my, you know, maybe they're an Instagram influencer. You know, it's like, so it's sad because one person could be doing it for genuinely the right reasons. That doesn't mean that the one doing it for the wrong reasons doesn't have affection for them. But the motivations behind it have to be genuine because you genuinely want to be with this person. And I think it really is only ever going to have two outcomes if you're with someone for the wrong reasons. It's going to end, maybe not badly, but it's not going to work. Or two, it does last, and yet you both have very unsatisfying lives because you're not with them for the right person, for the right reasons, so you're not getting what you need because they're not the right person for you. And then they're not getting it because you're not genuine in your motivations behind it.
Yeah, and you don't want to look back 20, 30 years down the line and think, oh, I wasted my life pursuing that. And I mean, we had a message from someone, or I did, I don't know if you saw it, a little while back on Reddit, funnily enough. And this person was in a long-distance relationship, and then she ghosted him, and it went down. And the message that he sent was, can you give me some tips on how I get into another long distance relationship? Because, and basically we had a conversation, and then it transpired that basically he wanted long distance because he felt so bad about himself. He just didn't think he would get a real life girlfriend. No one would be physically attracted to him. So he wanted this long distance relationship. And it's kind of the same thing of, well, you're using the long distance relationship as a crutch. And really the goal of a long distance relationship is to eventually meet. So
eventually live together, close the distance.
So it's kind of, that's going to backfire. So really what you're just looking for is someone again to give you that validation. And so, to me, it's about, you have to be your own point of origin. Like, you have to improve yourself. You have to work on yourself. And obviously, again, that's different for everyone. It depends what your perceived shortcoming is. You know, if you've been bullied or abused or whatever, then, you know, and you feel like you need psychological help to overcome that. But then if you're just unhappy with your body, then, you know, join a gym and eat right and stuff like that. But you need to do it for yourself. And if you make yourself as good as you can be, or you're on that path and you're doing it for yourself, then everything else will fall into place. You'll attract the right people. You'll attract people of so-called high value, you know.
I think there's really something to that. Like, we all want more, whether we want a better paying job or, you know, a better home or more money or a better version of ourselves, whether that's internally or externally. And we all just kind of think, I think, you know, if I just do the right things in life and I'm a good person and I keep my head down and go along, I'll get these things. And that's really not true. Like, I'm beginning to see, like, for myself especially, there's a lot of things that I want different in myself. And it's not just going to happen. Like, it's a lot of work. But that work, like Rich just said, you know, it will have ripple effects into the rest of your life. You know, what you put out there, I genuinely think you get back. And when you're working on yourself and trying to right the things that maybe you've been doing wrong or just not taking care of in yourself, really, really quickly, it starts to change things. I think it changes your outlook. And then you get, you know, when you're...
People see you differently.
People see you differently. Not because you look different yet or you've lost the weight yet, but... Or what, you know, whatever challenge it is that you're facing, people respond to positivity. And when you're implementing those changes and starting to tackle those challenges to change things for yourself, you immediately become a more positive force because you're being proactive and you're accepting responsibility for maybe what you haven't been doing right, or, you know, things you want to do differently. And it does come back at you, and people do see it and people respond to it positively. It's like one of those things my mom's always said, you get more bees with honey than vinegar. And so you put in sweetness and positivity out there, you're going to get more. You put something sour and bitter out there, you're not going to get anything.
Yeah, and I think the question to ask yourself as well is, if you're thinking, oh, you know, I'm desperate to be with someone, is what kind of person do you want to be with? Because people are attracted to different things. If you're wandering around unhappy, perpetually negative, you don't look after yourself, you're not really invested in your own well-being, and just you complain about everything, you're not very likely to get someone who's motivated and upbeat and generally capable of helping you, because you know misery attracts misery, you know. So if you're this person who's just wandering about, shuffling through life, everything's really shit, nothing's worth it, you know, I don't like how I look, chances are you're gonna then attract someone with the same mindset, and then you're gonna just create even more misery and unhappiness between you, because you're both gonna reinforce each other's opinions that, you know, the world's terrible, everyone hates us, aren't I really, like, terrible, you know, I can't get ahead in life because I'm being oppressed. But then if you're thinking, well, actually, you know, I'm going to start eating a little bit better and I'm going to go to the gym, and you do that for, say, a month or 2 months, and you just start seeing little changes, it makes you feel better. I'm using this as a crude example. Obviously, if you, like I said, if you've got to overcome traumas and things, then I'm not suggesting that eating broccoli is going to make you feel better.
No, but therapy.
I'm using it as one example. But if you start putting in the work for yourself, then, yeah, you will start to feel better, and then you'll start to attract people with a more positive mindset. who in turn will then help push you to feel better and achieve more, and then you push back to them the same, and it's like a game of tennis, you know, and it goes on like that. And I think, but you're your own point of origin. You started doing that for yourself, make yourself better, and then you start attracting this different caliber of people, rather than being that bottom rung of the ladder and thinking, I just need someone, I need anyone to validate me, and then you get someone who's not right for you. So just like, who do you want in your life and how do I get them?
That sounds very premeditated.
It wasn't, it's off the cuff.
Just like, no, I mean like the thought process behind
that. Oh, I thought you meant my like end in there.
No.
Yeah, it does sound premeditated. And I think it probably is. Like, you know, the person who messaged us and says, tell me, how do I get into a long-distance relationship? Where are these women hanging out? It's like...
That's premeditated.
That's like preying on them. Like, right, I'm going to find the women who want a long-distance relationship because I'm too scared to go into the real world and find someone.
Where the bitches at?
Where the bitches at, you know. But because, like, but why? Like, take it back. I'm scared to go out and see a real woman because I think I'm ugly and unattractive and I'm scared they're going to tell me that. Well, the answer to that is get in the fucking gym, you know, go get some grooming and styling, work on your wardrobe a little bit, generally make yourself feel better
about how you look. It sounds like that is some internal problems as well.
Do you know what I mean? But if you've identified it that...
Going to the gym or getting a haircut is not going to fix that. That's something you need to maybe seek out therapy or counselling to feel better about yourself.
Yeah, maybe, but like...
Self-esteem is a huge issue.
Self-esteem is a huge issue, but equally, if you really are a physical mess...
Yeah.
There's a, you know, because the thing is, I think... This may, you can't always say this nowadays, I don't think, but yes, self-esteem is very important, but there are people who need to work on themselves.
Yeah.
You know, so if you are one of those people, then the self-esteem can come as a result of the actions. So if you're like, I feel bad about how I look, make yourself look better and see if you feel better. If you look a lot better, you know, obviously, you know, you can get into the realm of body dysmorphia and eating disorders and things, and you're right, like that's a very different kettle of fish. I'm not suggesting join the gym and then get obsessed with it and
just make healthy changes.
Like go to the gym a few times a week to do moderate exercise if you need to lose a bit of weight or you want to, you know, you want to improve your physique and eat better food. And if you're just there with lank, greasy hair.
I feel like we need to go into a makeover montage or something from a rom-com.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, if you're just there, if you can just see in the mirror that your appearance isn't great, you're sloppy, you've got ill-fitting clothes and your hair's greasy and there's no style to it, then yeah, go into the hairdressers and changing your clothes can make a huge difference how you look and how you feel.
Yeah.
But then you go and think, oh, well, now I think some women might find me attractive.
Yeah, I mean, I
guess... Where are them bitches at?
If there's things that you can take responsibility for, you need to. And some of that might be, you know, physical changes, like Rich has just mentioned, but sometimes I think it goes a lot deeper. And that's stuff that you also have to take responsibility for. So if you do have severe depression or in that's making you feel that way... And the thing about depression is it can affect then how well you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah,
you know, it can affect hygiene, it can affect motivation and stuff, so...
Yeah.
You need to start little, yeah, you know, give yourself a little makeover or go get a new haircut, buy a couple, you know, whatever, it, you know, give yourself a little push. But, you know, if there's deeper problems in that, it's not going to solve it. And you need to get to the root of that. And
but that's, I think they can be professional help. I think they can be symbiotic in that if the depression's make you not want to take care of yourself. Yeah, that's very true and very real. But if you are able to put one foot in front of the other and start to look a bit better, you can start to feel a little bit better. And not that that's going to cure your depression, but you're just doing what you can. And like, you know, you just said it's about responsibility. I mean, that's true. And I think in this day and age, it's all too easy to say, it's not my fault, I'm going to do nothing, and I just need someone to tell me that's okay. And I think actually, you know, we've got to be very careful, because you're right, if it's genuine depression and things and it's working against you, then I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about if you just... lazy,
or you don't care, static in a place and you're life.
Just disinterested, and then you just say, someone validate me, I can't be bothered. Well, then like take responsibility, put some nice clothes on, get a nice makeover, like, you know what I mean, like make yourself feel nice.
Yeah. And I think it's like I said, you know, a few minutes ago, we all think like it'll all work out, it'll come to me, I'll figure it out, you know, life will present me with what I need. It's like, not necessarily. You have to make a lot happen in your life, especially if you want it to be to meet the image of what the idea you had for your life. you know, I think if we all think about when we were 10 years old, like for us, where we thought we'd be in our mid-30s, we're probably not quite there. You know, there's work to do and stuff. And, you know, you just can't hope that it's going to come to you.
Yeah, and I think also, like, we, you know, we've said multiple times that a relationship's a privilege. Like, someone choosing you to spend the rest of their life with, and you doing the same, and you living together and taking care of each other and supporting that person. Like, you know, we each give a lot of energy to the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a privilege. Like, to be, like, so... like, there's a lot of audacity in just saying, you'll do. Like, you should absolutely have to put in some investment up front and say, do you know what, yeah, I'm going to show you that I'm worth it, and I'll put an investment into myself. And obviously, we didn't really think about that initially. We kind of we built our relationship differently and grew over time. But I'm saying, have the attitude of, yeah, I think I deserve you, and or I'll make sure I feel like I deserve you, or... and I think that's what relationships are really good for, is giving someone a kick up the arse to say, oh, I need to raise my game here a little bit because you deserve better than what I am currently. I think that's what they're really good at in a lot of instances.
Relationships?
Yeah. And I think that's important because, like I said, if someone's choosing you and you respond to that by saying, yeah, I'm going to just sit around eating pizza, playing video games all day, like, you, like, take it or leave it. Leave it.
Yeah, and I think life's too short to be in a mediocre relationship. And I remember, like, when I first moved here, and I remember, like, we were in our first apartment, and I was getting ready to go to work, and we've been arguing about something, and we've been very open before about, you know, the first couple years, first year in particular of our marriage, there's a lot of adjusting going on. You know, we were newlyweds, on our own together for the first time. I'd moved. There was a lot to work around. And I know that I probably had some unrealistic expectations. I probably was still in the, oh, this is a romantic fairy tale type of thing. But I remember, whatever it was, I wasn't happy with how things were going. You know, obviously it wasn't, like, detrimental. We weren't going to break up. But it was like, this isn't what I expected kind of thing. And I just said to you, you know what? If I wanted blah, I would have stayed in that shitty town. I would have married whoever, and I wouldn't have put myself through all this. I expect more. And that hit you.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you were probably being as bad as I made it out to be. I think emotions were just quite high. But maybe you were being a bit complacent with some things.
Yeah, and, like, I think for us in particular was we were young.
We were really young,
yeah. We married at 24, 25, and so we sort of learned together and we grew together rather than maybe being, say, 35, 40 with more lived experience and a few more failed relationships, and you can see why they've gone wrong and all that. Like, we
literally had no blueprint for what the hell we were supposed to do or what other people like us did or were going through. You know, we had to wing it and we had to figure it out.
We didn't have... if it existed, we were completely unaware of it, but we weren't part of any long-distance community where we could reach out and say, guys, like, how did you deal with this? And
yeah.
How did you... Because it's not just, like, we'd had relationships and stuff before, and I'd lived with an ex, but it wasn't like, oh, how do you deal with someone who's left home on another side of the world and come here? And, oh, we're now... we've got these bills and we've got these extra responsibilities together and all that. It's... We didn't have anyone, our parents, we didn't have anyone else to talk to.
And the fact that we made it through, you know, all that, trying to figure out what the fuck we were doing, visa, you know, money, jobs, trying to get our life going, having to start, like, there was a lot that we've been through. And I think, were we not together for the right reasons, we would not have made it.
Mm.
I don't think that, you know, we've been through, like, you know, terrible struggles and stuff, but I think it would have been enough to break a lot of couples. And yeah, that's a testament to the fact that we are together for the right reasons. We chose each other because we complement each other. We enhance each other. We push each other to be better. We bring the best out of each other. We laugh. We're best friends. You know, like, we're wildly attracted to one another. Like, you know, it's all the right reasons. And had it not been, it wouldn't have worked.
Yeah.
And so I think particularly if you're in a long distance relationship, you know, you need to think about this. Like, oh shit, like why is this so important to me? And probably it'll be for all the right reasons. But in some cases, it may not be. And that's something you need to address. Okay, well, how do I... And that doesn't mean you can't salvage things. You know, you can shift your focus, you know, a bit and explore other areas of this person that might be the right reasons to be with them. I don't think that just because you got together for the wrong reasons doesn't mean that you don't stay together for the right reasons or shift your perspective to make things right.
Yeah, or that you can't grow into it. Like, you know, I said about arranged marriages, they don't... My understanding is very limited. But I'm assuming that they don't tend to have all these fireworks at the beginning because they're not chosen based on the attraction like that, you know, and, oh, you make me feel this way. But from what I understand of it is, you know, that love develops and grows and then they create these incredible marriages. So, you know, there's not one size fits all.
Yeah, and I think if we think back to the reasons that we got to where we are, you liked a picture of me and I liked the idea that you were English.
Yeah.
Obviously, those were the reasons that intrigued us about each other. He thought I was pretty, probably not in quite those nice terms, weren't the thoughts that went through your head. And I thought, ooh, he must have a sexy accent. He's English. Those aren't the basis of our relationship. So we're not talking about what's attracted to you to each other initially. It's what you...
And that goes back to what we were saying before about liking the idea of it. So if we've met, or so speaking, you're like, Ashley, he's a dick, but I really like that he's British. Yeah.
Being British is half of what makes you a dick.
Yeah, exactly.
I just think it's always good to open up and think about why you're with this person. And even if you are with him for all the right reasons, you know, are you giving them what they need? Are you putting out the right reasons? You know, there's a lot to think about. And relationships are amazing because they're always evolving. They're always changing. And you constantly have the opportunity to improve them, no matter how long you've been together. You always have you could always find a new way to be there for them to make their life, you know, improved over certain ways. There's no end to it. It's genuinely what the two of you together choose to make it.
Yeah.
I think that's a good place to...
Yeah. So I want to do one more little shout out for our fundraiser because it's important.
Okay.
You know, they're a really deserving couple, aren't they?
We just kind of fell in love with them.
Yeah, and you know, we do encourage you to listen to the episode if you haven't. And yeah, everyone, I imagine a lot of people listen to this at long distance or they understand it. And so you know how hard it is anyway. And then if you've got some serious serious medical conditions thrown in there as well. But you know, I just want everyone to know that with the listeners that we get, if you listen to this and you donate between $1 and $5, pounds, whatever currency, we will have all that money raised within a week. And I think, like...
It all adds up. It'll all make a difference.
Yeah. And I think I just want people to realise how quickly we can do this, how achievable it is. And it's not like, we're not asking you to put $100 in. And if you can't put anything in, like, we'll just really appreciate it if you can share it with other people. And, you know, we'll let it snowball.
Yes, please.
What were you going to say?
Just it all adds up. It all makes a difference.
Okay. Yeah.
Every bit, as Tesco says, every bit helps. Yeah. Every bit helps.
Yeah.
I don't even know it and I'm trying to say it.
Anything else you want to add?
Nope. I'm good.
All right.
Bye.